From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Every one of you, thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you'd like to be part of the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams. Vanessa Sanchez producing the program today. Tom Price screening your phone calls. And our social media maven today is Mr. Ace McKay. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window, and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And our host is, he is every Tuesday, our very favorite Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Jack. And on this feast day of St. Bonaventure, Bishop and Doctor of the Church, no less.
Yeah, so very good. So we're going to do a little. We're going to do a little doctor chat today.
We are. And I thought I would talk a little bit about Bonaventure himself. He was born around 1221 in the Tuscan region of Italy. He entered the Franciscan Friars Minor in 1243, and he was eventually elected Minister General in 1257 and solidified the Order of Friars Minor in a time of the community's expansion. At that time, the Franciscans' explosive growth threatened the purity of their charism. Having been schooled at the University of Paris, where he rose to the position of master, Bonaventure brought a keen intellectual mind to his task. He wrote the definitive biography, for example, of St. Francis of Assisi, as well as a commentary on the Franciscan rule, which helped solidify the community during its expansive growth, and he defended the evangelical perfection from its critics of the three vows. Bonaventure lived humility, poverty, and single-minded devotion to Christ as a learned teacher and cardinal bishop of Albano, Italy. I love this, Jack, what I'm about to say, because you know that I love the theology of faithfulness to daily duty. This is kind of a comical story. The story is told of the day that the papal legates arrived at the Franciscan house in Florence to hand deliver to Bonaventure the red cardinal's hat. But Bonaventure was inside at that very moment, washing dishes in the kitchen for the priory. In obedience to the Franciscan rule, he finished washing the dishes first before receiving the papal visitors. I just think that's a great story. Bonaventure died in 1274 and was named a Doctor of the Church in 1588. He is known specifically as the Seraphic Doctor, as he taught that very goal of the all the arts and sciences, the very goal of all the arts and sciences, is the direct contemplation of Almighty God. This title is also a reference to St. Francis's mystical vision of the crucified Christ in the form of a seraph, his title, the Seraphic Doctor, St. Bonaventure. Of St. Bonaventure, Pope Benedict XVI said, quote, "The whole of his thinking was profoundly Christocentric," in other words, Christ-centered, right? His extensive writings did much to illuminate the study of both philosophy and theology, and he is regarded as the second founder of the Franciscans after St. Francis of Assisi himself. His noted virtues, industriousness, diligence, obedience, and faith. I love the virtue of industriousness. It's defined as commitment and faithfulness to daily tasks and duties, especially in work that leads to natural and supernatural maturity. Having the virtue of industriousness means that you are diligent and hardworking, especially in a way that will produce personal maturity. When we are young, for example, being industrious can look like such things as completing homework on time, doing chores without being asked, and taking care of pets, etc. And the virtue of diligence, Jack, speaks of similar virtues like tenacity, persistence, consistency, perseverance, and dedication. Diligence may be described as an attitude exhibiting constant and earnest effort to accomplish whatever has been undertaken, regardless of the circumstances surrounding the task at hand or the person carrying it out. Diligence is an attitude which exhibits an earnest effort to continue with a task or that of an accomplishment, regardless of the distractions that may surround it. And so, two great virtues that St. Bonaventure had. And from talking a little bit about his life, Jack, I'd like to talk now about, just in general, the 37 doctors of the church and list them by name, one of which is Bonaventure, of course, I've already said, and just speak a little bit as to what a doctor of the church is. What does the church mean by a doctor of the church? What does she mean by her doctoral roster, if you will, of the 37 doctors of the church? And what we don't finish up in naming them, Jack, we can finish up when we come back from our first break. But doctor of the church is a title given since the Middle Ages to certain saints of the Catholic Church whose writing, teaching, and or preaching is outstanding for guiding the faithful in all periods of the church's history, especially in regards to her dogmatic, moral, and spiritual teachings. Originally, the Western Fathers of the Church, that is, St. Gregory the Great, St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, and St. Jerome, the great scripture scholar, were considered the great doctors of the Church. But throughout her 2,000-year history, the Catholic Church has officially added many more names to these original four doctors, including St. Catherine of Siena and St. Teresa of Avila. And today, there are currently 37 doctors of the church, as I said, on the church's doctoral roster. Here's the list. First, we have St. Albert the Great. I'll list them in alphabetical order. Albert the Great, Dominican and patron saint of the natural scientists and sciences, known as the Doctor Universalis and the Doctor Expertus, expert doctor. Alphonsus Liguori, patron of confessors and moralists and founder of the Redemptorist Order. St. Ambrose, one of the four traditional doctors of the Latin Church, staunch opponent of Arianism in the West, and the Bishop of Milan, and of course he was the great confessor to St. Augustine. St. Anselm was the Archbishop of Canterbury and considered the father of scholasticism. St. Anthony of Padua, who I like to affectionately call the St. Anthony of Lisbon. He was a Franciscan friar and evangelical doctor. St. Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria, a strong and dominant opponent of Arianism and the father of orthodoxy, he's called. St. Augustine was the Bishop of Hippo, known as the Doctor of Grace. St. Basil the Great, one of the three great Cappadocian fathers, considered the father of monasticism in the East. St. Bede the Venerable was a Benedictine priest and father of English history. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, Cistercian monk, and called the mellifluous doctor because of his speaking eloquence. St. Bonaventure, a Franciscan theologian who is considered the seraphic doctor, as I've already said. Next, we have St. Catherine of Siena, mystic, spiritual writer, and the second-named female doctor of the church. St. Cyril of Alexandria was a patriarch and staunch opponent of Nestorianism. He made key contributions to the study of Christology. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, bishop and opponent of Arianism in the East. St. Ephrem Cyrus was a biblical exegete and ecclesiastical writer. He is referred to as the harp of the Holy Spirit. St. Francis de Sales, whom I love dearly with my media work, bishop and strong leader in the Counter-Reformation. He is the patron saint of Catholic writers and the Catholic press and of communicators. St. Gregory the First, also known as St. Gregory the Great, was pope. He defended papal supremacy and worked for clerical and monastic reform during his time. St. Gregory of Narek, one of the more recent doctors of the church, was a monk, poet, mystical philosopher, and theologian. St. Gregory of Nazianzus was called the Christian Demosthenes because of his eloquence, and in the Eastern Church, he is simply known as the theologian. He is one of the three Cappadocian fathers as well. So we'll continue with the H's and beyond of the 37 doctors of the church list, Jack, when we get back from our break. But I would like our callers to call in today to give a witness about who their favorite patron saint is and why. Maybe it's a doctor of the church. For example, we will soon discover that St. Teresa of Avila, the great Carmelite reformer, is one of the 37 doctors of the church, one of the great four female doctors of the church. Maybe they're a third order discalced Carmelite, our caller in today, and they can give a witness about their tertiary work as a third order member with the Carmelite order. And maybe St. Teresa, for example, is one of their favorite saints to look to. So give us a call today. Share with us who your favorite patron saint is. And when we come back, Jack, we will continue with our list of the 37 doctors of the church on this wonderful feast day of St. Bonaventure.
You know who the patron saint of shopping is, right?
St. Francis de Sales.
That's exactly right. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number.
Jeanette must love him.
833-288-3986. It's EWTN's Open Line Wednesday with Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, we've got a great book from EWTN, religious catalog that's available to you. I want to tell you about Mike Aquilina, one of the most knowledgeable guys you're ever going to want to meet in the Catholic Church or anywhere else. He's got a new book called Rabbles, Riots, and Ruins, The 12 Ancient Cities and How They Were Evangelized. I find that very interesting, quite frankly. You can explore the remarkable transformation of cities like Jerusalem, Rome, Antioch, Alexandria, and you'll be taking an imaginative journey into the world of the Church Fathers, timely enough for our springboard topic today, those saints and sages who had a powerful testament to the evangelization lessons. The Fathers still offer the modern church today. This book's available now at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com, where they're offering free shipping, rather, on set orders of $75 or more. That is shipping within the continental U.S. only. Simply use the code FREE at checkout. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number as we continue our 40-year, or maybe our 37-year, rambling through the doctors of the church.
There you go. There you go. We'll start with the H's where we left off. St. Hilary of Poitiers was a bishop and staunch defender of truth who is also known as the Athanasius of the West. That's pretty awesome. St. Hildegard of Bingen, Benedictine abbess. She was a writer, composer, philosopher, and mystic. She is one of the best-known composers of sacred monophony in regards to sacred music. St. Irenaeus of Lyon was bishop, theologian, and martyr of the early church. St. Isidore of Seville, Jack, was archbishop, theologian, and historian. He is often regarded as the most learned man of his time. St. Jerome was a father of biblical science who gave us the Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible. St. John of Avila was a priest and mystic. St. John Chrysostom, Bishop of Constantinople and patron saint of preachers and called Golden Mouth because of his eloquence when preaching. St. John Damascene, Greek theologian known as the Golden Speaker because of his preaching eloquence. St. John of the Cross was a joint founder of the Order of Discalced Carmelites along with St. Teresa of Avila. He is known as the Doctor of Mystical Theology in large part because of his spiritual classic, The Dark Night of the Soul. St. Lawrence of Brindisi was a vigorous preacher and a strong influencer during the post-Reformation period. St. Leo the Great, the first St. Leo the Great, was a pope who wrote against the Nestorian and Monophysite heresies and errors of Manichaeism and also Pelagianism. St. Peter Canisius was a Jesuit theologian and leader in the Counter-Reformation, and a strong one at that, I might add. St. Peter Chrysologus was Bishop of Ravenna, who is called Golden Worded because of his preaching eloquence. St. Peter Damian was a Benedictine and ecclesiastical and clerical reformer. St. Robert Bellarmine was a Jesuit who defended doctrine under attack both during and after the Protestant Reformation. He wrote two catechisms for the Catholic Church. St. Teresa of Avila, whom I've already mentioned just before the break, Jack, was a Spanish Carmelite nun, reformer, and mystic who is considered a founder of the Order of Discalced Carmelites, along with St. John of the Cross, as I just mentioned. She was the first female named a doctor of the Church. St. Thérèse of Lisieux was a French Carmelite nun and mystic who is one of the patron saints of the Church's missionary activity on earth because of her love for the Church's missionary activity on earth. And St. Thomas Aquinas was a Dominican philosopher and theologian called the Angelic Doctor, the great scholasticist. He is the patron saint of Catholic schools and Catholic education and even non-Catholic education, education in general, St. Thomas Aquinas. So there you have it, the 37 doctors of the Church, one of whom is St. Bonaventure, whose feast day we celebrate today on July 15th on the Church's universal calendar, considered the co-founder of the Franciscan Order and the first one to write a definitive biography of the great founder of the Franciscans, St. Francis of Assisi. Give us a call this hour or type in the sidebar at Facebook or YouTube this hour live on Open Line Tuesday. Who is your favorite patron saint? Does it happen to be a doctor of the Church? That would be especially great if you could call in and give a witness about one of the 37 doctors, or even what their esteemed eruditeness means to you as teachers, preachers, and scholars of the Church in regards to her dogmatic, moral, and spiritual teachings. Maybe it was reading some of the early Church doctors, who are also early Church fathers, that brought you in to the Catholic Church as a convert. You know, some of the 37 doctors, Jack, are also fathers of the Church. Some of them are bishop fathers of the Church. Some of them are not. When we speak of the age of the fathers, we're talking about the first 7 to 8 centuries of the Catholic Church. The likes of Ambrose and Augustine and Irenaeus of Lyon and so forth. Some of these 37 doctors are also early Church fathers. So maybe it's one of them who had a role of bringing you closer to the Catholic Church, to look at the Catholic Church, and indeed converting to the Catholic Church. So give us a witness call this hour.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. Couple of open lines for you at 833-288-3986 on this Open Line Tuesday, not Wednesday. Apparently I said Wednesday earlier. Confusing, Father. I thought
it's
I thought
vacation.
Father Mitch had shaved his beard, and
hey, it's vacation season. We'll let it
Portuguese,
slide.
Portuguese, Polish. I get confused easily. First stop today is Kansas City, Missouri. We know that for sure. Tara is listening on Catholic Radio Network today. Tara, you're on with Father Wade.
Oh, hey, howdy. Gosh, I guess to answer your question about, you know, who are the doctors of the Church, who are the big deal. You can't beat Augustine and Aquinas as well as Gregor the Great. But my question was, the priest made the distinction just very succinctly about the difference between justice and mercy, and that got me thinking, what is the difference between then mercy and charity?
Oh, great question. The difference between mercy and charity. And I, as a father of mercy, will gladly answer that for you. Let's break down the word mercy, misericordia. It means a suffering heart. Misery, it's where we get the word misery from. Misericordia. Misere, that is misery, or more aptly, suffering. And then cordia. Misericordia. Cordia is heart. So it's a suffering heart. It's when one suffers on behalf of another to help that other one have their own suffering alleviated. We help them take it on. That's mercy. Charity, as one of the theological virtues, is that virtue which shows love toward the other, simply put, whether they're suffering or not, right? Charity is one of the three theological virtues, along with faith and hope, wherein we show love towards another, simply because their dignity demands it. Their dignity demands it as a human person made in God's image and likeness, okay? Where mercy is expressing a suffering, sorrowful heart toward the other precisely because they are suffering. Does that help you out, Tara?
Super. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling Open Line Tuesday today. God bless you.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. Grab one of those open phone lines at 833-288-3986. Next up is North Central Indiana. Zachary is listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Zachary, you are on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hi, Father Wade. Blessings to you guys and everyone in the studio. I appreciate my call being taken.
You're welcome.
Thank you. First off, patron saints for me would be like St. Teresa of the Little Way, and St. Francis, and St. Aelred. My question, Father Wade, is, can you hear me okay? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I've got a few questions, but they all kind of tie together. Are there age limits in regard to someone entering religious life, whether it be priesthood or someone seeking to be a brother or a sister in any kind of order? And then a follow-up, I guess, would be if someone is, like, of religious life, how do they go about, or does it come later in regard to them creating their own religious organization or order? So like them like writing their own rule, that sort of thing.
Sure, sure. So I want you to know that the church's universal canon law, one of its most prominent areas is that concerning consecrated religious life. And so canon law spells out very, very clearly, for example, the different levels of communities and institutes of religious life, which begin at the diocesan level with the permission of the bishop. So I have heard stories where it's been done one or two of these ways. The order begins, or I should say the community is a more proper term. The community begins its work, its charitable works, its founding charism through its founder or founders in the plural, and they begin to live that life. But soon after that, after it's proven itself, say within a year to 2 years, once it's proven itself, then the founder or founders, if it's more than one founder, like the Order of Seven Servites had the seven founders of it, you want to meet with your bishop to let him know that you see a real promise here with this group growing in this area of particular works and charisms, whatever those might be. Then the second model that I've seen is when the founder or foundress feels inspired, before they even begin to find others who want to share in the work of the community, they go and see the bishop first to let the bishop know from the get-go that they're feeling inspired with this, and may they have the permission with his blessing, and extra graces can come from that if you have the bishop's blessing from the get-go, from the beginning. May you have his blessing to begin these works to see where the Holy Spirit takes it. Okay, but it always begins at the diocesan level, and it always begins with notifying your bishop, who can serve as a spiritual guide canonically for you and with his canon lawyer or lawyers of the diocese to ensure that everything is being properly followed. Certain characteristics of a community from its beginning is a very goal-oriented, specific charism or work of the apostolate, or works in the plural of the apostolate. It's very, very spelled out, okay, what they claim their charitable work is going to be on behalf of the life of Holy Mother Church in this one given geographical location, okay, beginning at the diocesan level. And in the future, if it grows, praise God, it grows. But right now you're existent in a particular diocese and asking for the guidance of that bishop. So it's very goal-oriented, very goal-directed to a specific work of the apostolate or works of the apostolate, and also in your charisms, okay? So for example, the Fathers of Mercy apostolate is itinerant missionary preaching, primarily of parish missions in parishes. Our charism is that of the mercy of God. Great question, and good luck with that. God bless you now.
833-288. EWTN's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Congratulations going out to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 9 years with us. WCLP 98.3 FM serves Lake Placid, New York. Boy, it seems like just yesterday we were getting that rascal off the ground. Congratulations to John and Maureen Fellner and their great team at Light of Truth Ministries from your friends here at EWTN. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Grab one of these open phone lines at 833-288-3986. Up next is Ryan in the great state of North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Ryan, you're on with Father Wade.
Oh, hi, Father Wade. How are you?
Doing great, Ryan. Thank you for your call today.
Well, say, I so appreciate the love and charity that flows out of the Catholic Church. I'm a Protestant, but I also am so appreciative of the history. Man, I wish I had more time to study these people. And I was going to ask about Dr. DeSales.
Yes, St. Francis de Sales. It's interesting that you say that you admire the love of the Catholic Church, because that's exactly what he was known for during the Protestant Reformation. He played a significant role, Ryan, in the Counter-Reformation precisely by emphasizing kindness and understanding in his approach to converting Protestants and sharing the Catholic faith with them. He focused on gentle persuasion and reasoned discourse, let's say, rather than a confrontational way, earning him the nickname, actually, by the Protestants, the Gentleman Saint. That's pretty awesome. The Protestants refer to him as the Gentleman Saint. His writings, too, Ryan, like his well-known classic, his Introduction to the Devout Life, which states very clearly that all states in life and vocation, singles, marrieds, consecrated religious, actives, contemplatives, etc., the religious order priests, the diocesan priest, etc., that all are called to the devout life and to a state of holiness that is appropriate to their state in life. So, you know, a homeschooling mother of four is not meant to be one who acts like a cloistered Carmelite nun, right? The two vocations are extremely different, and yet both are called to the heights of sanctity, to the heights of devotion and holiness. Well, he really focuses on this during the time of the Protestant Reformation and Counter-Reformation in spreading the faith to others. And his Introduction to the Devout Life, his most well-known spiritual classic, is a work that greatly influenced Protestant thought as well. He was known for his gentle approach, his missionary work in Geneva, where he really, really labored for the church, his writings on spirituality, especially in regards to his own theology of faithfulness to daily duty and growth in holiness, his emphasis on love and charity, as I said, and also he was one of the first saints because of his writings, where we really saw his vocational writings on vocations and states in life, where we really see his influence precisely influencing succeeding generations, where people start saying, because of my parents and my grandparents, I'm doing this same thing. And I remember my parents and my grandparents talking about St. Francis de Sales and his theology of faithfulness to daily duty. So he was really a very special saint in his time, at a time where there was a lot of conflict during the Reformation and his approach to things. Does that help you out on his influence during the Protestant Reformation?
Absolutely. That's very touching. Thank you so much, Father.
You're welcome. I'd like to add to that too, Ryan and Jack, if I may. You know, he was known to have had the influence in the conversions of over 70,000 souls to the Catholic faith. And he left behind him over 21,000 extant letters and 4,000 sermons. I'm tired right now. Okay, should I just stop the show right now, Jack? I'm feeling exhausted. But, you know, he's one of the patron saints of communicators and print and broadcast media. So, and not only Catholic print and broadcast media and communications, but even secular, just like Thomas Aquinas, the patron saint of Catholic education and secular education. So great saints of the church, Ryan. Hopefully you'll look at them more. And I'd like to invite you to look at the Catholic Church more. And thank you for being a listener today to Open Line Tuesday.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. That frees up a line for you at 833-288-3986. Judy is up next in one of the greatest towns in America, at least the greatest names of a town in America, Spearfish, South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Judy, you're on with Father Wade.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome,
so I
Judy.
I had a teaching career of 25 years, and then I changed career to a flight attendant. I did that for 5. And then I decided to be a tour guide in Deadwood, South Dakota, at a Queen Anne-style home built in the early 1800s. And I was having a problem memorizing my lines, the history of this house. It was like an hour-long spiel, and I was really struggling. I couldn't even get inside the house. I was on the front porch, and I had to have this all memorized. So I decided I was going to look up the saints who might be, you know, might help me out with this, who I can pray to, intercede for me. And I came up with Thomas Aquinas popped up and a few other ones. And then St. Bona of Pisa came up. She did like 9 or 10 pilgrimages, the Compass, St. James of Compostela. And she was a the saint of guides and flight attendants. Like, that's it. That's her. And prayed to her, and you know what? I got those lines memorized, no problem. And then I'm back to being a flight attendant. And anyway, I pray every time I start a trip, I make sure I have her intercede for me so that I'm going to treat the passengers, you know, with kindness, compassion, whatever I need to get that day. So,
what a beautiful witness, a patron saint for your line of varied works, especially the work that you've returned to now as a flight attendant. And I would think that by default, she would thus also be a patron saint of safe flights, of which the flight attendants are a part of having a safe flight, right? She was canonized in 1962 by Pope St. John the 23rd, the Pope who convened the Second Vatican Council. And she is considered, as you say, the patron saint of travelers, specifically of tour guides, guides, couriers, pilgrims, flight attendants, and of course, the city of Pisa. St. Bona of Pisa, B-O-N-A of Pisa, P-I-S-A. Bona, of course, means good. We talk about St. Bonaventure today, St. Bonaventure. Bona Ventura is literally translated to good journey, right? Bona Ventura, good journey. And you're referring to St. Bona of Pisa, a female saint. She was a member also of the Third Order of the Augustinian Nuns. So I would think that Pope Leo XIV would know something about her. And she helped lead travelers on pilgrimages, as you said. And again, in 1962, the year that the Second Vatican Council convened on October 11th of that year, she was canonized a saint in the Catholic Church by Pope John the 23rd, now a saint himself. She was born in 1156 and died in 1207 at the age of 51. And she did lead travelers and pilgrims on the way, quote unquote, the way to the shrine of St. James de Compostela in Spain, which has had a revival. My goodness, has had a revival in the past few years. In fact, several of my confreres have gone on that pilgrimage. And now there's different routes, more easier routes, more moderate, more difficult. where whatever the person wants their challenge to be, they can go on the way on foot to the great shrine of St. James de Compostela. Judy, thank you so much for a great witness call about a favorite patron saint of yours, St. Bona of Pisa, a fairly recently canonized saint, only in 1962. Thank you so much for a great witness call. We appreciate it.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It is a free telephone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. So, Father Wade, you are continually telling me that I'm too old to be a father of mercy. I'm too married to be a father of mercy. Who could become a father of mercy?
Well, before I answer that question, I don't think Johnette would want you to be a father of mercy, as much as I know she loves the fathers of mercy. Okay, so let's get that straight right there. Anyone 18 to 40 years old, in regards to men, of course, contemplating a religious vocation with an active missionary preaching apostolate. We Fathers of Mercy were founded in France in 1808, and we preach parish missions, retreats, devotions, conferences, etc., across the United States and Canada and to other selected countries that call us in, such as Australia and Scotland and India. We've preached in the past to Mother Teresa of Calcutta's sisters, for example, for their annual canonical retreat. We go where we are called, huh? And 18 to 40 years of age, you can find out more about us by going to fathersofmercy.com and navigating quite easily through our website, fathersofmercy.com. And if you wish to write our vocation director, Father Joseph Morgan, you may email him at vocations@fathersofmercy.com. That's vocations with an S at the end of it. Vocations@fathersofmercy.com is our vocation director's email address. And I'm often asked, Jack, you know, how did you Fathers of Mercy get from France to America, which is only where we exist today, is only in America? Well, in 1839, Father Jean-Baptiste Rozon, our founder, sent some of his early missionaries to the United States with hopes that they could continue the work of ministering to and saving souls. This is because in 1830, the growing Fathers of Mercy were forced to disband temporarily because of the French government of the July Revolution outlawing religious communities. It was also in 1830 that Father Rozon moved to Rome to write the community's constitutions, and Pope Gregory XVI approved Father Rozon's work officially in 1834 and gave the community the name Priests of Mercy, hence the Congregation of Priests of Mercy, which is the CPM after our name. That's our acronym. A lot of people think it's FOM for Fathers of Mercy. No, it's CPM for the Congregation of Priests of Mercy, placing it under the patronage of the Immaculate Conception. But colloquially, of course, we are known simply as the Fathers of Mercy. So check us out, fathersofmercy.com, and or write our vocation director if you're 18 to 40 years of age, male, single, looking at a dynamic preaching apostolate with an active missionary preaching order. Contact our vocation director, Father Joseph Morgan, at vocations@fathersofmercy.com.
You know, someone once asked me how the Fathers of Mercy got to the United States, and I said by boat.
Well, yes, that's true, too. There were no flight attendants or flights back then.
Next up is Steve in the great state of North Carolina, listening today on Divine Mercy Radio. Steve, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, thanks. Hey, Father Wade.
Hi. How you doing, Steve? Thanks for your call from North Carolina.
Doing well. I listened to you in the car on the AM radio, and two things. Number one, I appreciate the way you thoroughly explain all of the terms of the church and the different liturgies and the different holy days and why we do things. It's really helpful. I can really see that you're on fire with your faith, and thanks for sharing that. And number two, I asked for and received your book as a gift here recently, so I've been reading the book that you wrote for men, the 200th day, and I can't remember the name of it right now, sorry, but I'm on day 182, and I try to read it every morning when I read my scriptures and look at the different reflections that I have, and so I just appreciate that, and been trying to get to Mass one weekday each week.
Ah, one of the recommendations I make in the book. Well, Steve, thank you. You're referring to Stand Firm, Be Strong. I'm holding up the book right now to our live YouTube feed as well as our live Facebook feed, the YouTube feed at EWTN.com and the Facebook feed at EWTN Radio. Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. Again, Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. It's a 200-day daily meditation, as Steve just intimated. He's on day 183. Steve, you're almost done with it. Each day has a theme at the top, like commitment or accountability or grace, salvation, the importance of monthly confession, the importance of Sunday obligation mass, etc. And three things follow that theme of the day at the top. Three things follow: the scripture quote on that theme of the day, the saint quote on that theme of the day, and then thirdly and lastly, Father Wade's own meditation on the theme of that day. It's meant for 14 years of age and older, for any male, single, married, consecrated religious, brother, priest, diocesan priest, bishop himself, any state in life, any male, I'd say around age 14 or higher, high school or older, in other words, who's serious about their faith can benefit from this book. And again, it's titled Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. I'm holding it up again there, the cover to the live feed. And Steve, get this, I'm holding up now the new t-shirt that EWTNRC has made for the book to go with it. Stand Firm, Be Strong, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be sure to go to EWTNRC.com and get the t-shirt as well to complete the book, if you will. Or when you're done reading the book, purchase the t-shirt as a gift to yourself for completing the book. And might I recommend, as I do in the introduction to the book, Steve, go back and reread those topics that really stood out for you. When you're done reading the book in its entirety, all 200 days, go back and reread those sections that really stood out for you. I'm so glad that you've gotten a lot out of Stand Firm, Be Strong. I'm proud of that work. It's doing very well at EWTNRC and at the Fathers of Mercy, and now we got the t-shirt to go with it. Be sure to check that out. Thank you, Steve, for your call today, and maybe we'll have a parish mission there somewhere near your parish or at your parish itself. Be sure to tell your pastor about the Fathers of Mercy. We'd love to go in and preach a 3, 4, or 5-night mission, or maybe a day-long men's conference or a day-long father-son retreat. How does that sound, Steve?
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Tell your pastor about our website, fathersofmercy.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Father Wade DeSales. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Still time for your calls. Want to ask you to check out More to Life. Great program with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Every morning, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Dr. Greg and Lisa help you navigate the waters of family life with solutions straight from the genius of St. Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body. That's More to Life tomorrow morning and every morning, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio. Bernadine is in Spokane, Washington, listening on the Great Sacred Heart Radio. Bernadine, you're on with Father Wade Menezes.
Good afternoon, Father Menezes and Jack, and peace of Christ to you today. I am 85, Catholic all my life. I listen to you on EWTN often and on TV programs. You speak out so boldly, each of you, beautifully on our church teachings. Everything is helpful to us understanding and loving Jesus in our church. So I wrote that. I wanted you to know.
But well, thank you,
Bernie. The thing I'm calling about, thank you, is I have a modern-day story of St. Bonaventure.
Wonderful.
And, it is this that Father Menezes, 20 years ago, I joined Catholic Daughters of the Americas, and reasoning because our son, our first son, decided to become a priest. And the Catholic Daughters at that time were helping the seminarians, and they are now today, you know, with a little finances and then masses and prayers. So I joined them, and the second year I was in it, the the priest came from Africa, Father Melinda, and he told us of the orphanage that was in Tanzania that was needing a classroom, a school. And one of the women turned to me, and she had been around Europe with her husband in the army and took care of children in orphanages. And she said, we really need to listen to Father and try to build a school for them. I looked at her and said, surely, that's in Africa. But you think we can do that? I'll join you. So, Father, I'm kind of shaking because I'm older now, and I've done that work for 20 years to help.
Wow.
And we just built two new classrooms for it, and they called me. But I'm so joyful that others, St. Bonaventure, I'll just finish reading here. It says we had all the courts in the state of Washington in 2000, I think it was 10 and 11, put together dinners, and we raised money by all kinds of sales we put on. We ended up raising between them $42,000. And with that money, Sister Pulcheria came over and actually from Africa and accepted it and thanked us, the superior of the orphanage sisters. And they are, by the way, Father, when he says they're the Franciscan sisters of St. Bernadette.
And, oh, beautiful.
But isn't that beautiful? And I've met them. I've become very close because I've been able to be on Meta. I think it's an app that you can get on and go free to Africa. So, but after that, then those years, by 2018, they built the school and they named it St. Bonaventure. So,
well, wonderful.
That today, isn't that wonderful?
And do you know the impetus of why they chose that specific saint, today's patronal feast day for July 15th? What was the impetus behind choosing specifically St. Bonaventure?
Because what I understand about him is that he was for education.
Yes, he certainly was.
The faith, probably the faith, of course, and then they're getting education. And the sisters chose that because that's what they're wanting to do, is educate these children for the Lord and
wonderful.
In their studies.
Wonderful. Well, Bernadine, two things. First of all, I want you to know that just this past couple months, I preached the state convention of the Catholic Daughters of the America for the state of California. The state convention was held in Visalia, California, right in the heart of the beautiful San Joaquin Valley near Fresno, California, at a beautiful facility there. Over 300 women attended, representative of nearly 100 parishes, if not more. Just a fantastic group of Catholic ladies and all that they do in giving to charities and raising monies for charities and supporting vocations. Again, that was the Catholic Daughters of the Americas for the state of California for their state convention, and it was an honor to speak to them. And then my second point is, it's a question. Have you ever had a chance to visit the facility yourself in person that you're referring to?
Father Meneses, my son looked it up. I always wanted to travel there, but it's such a long distance of 20-something, 5 hours or more on a plane.
Sure,
once you get
sure.
there, then the travel is by bus over rocky roads, and I'm 85, and even Father Melinda said it would not be a good trip.
Sure. I didn't know if you had gone maybe earlier on in your life. Well, what a beautiful witness and beautiful charitable works that you've done for that orphanage, and thank you so much. And it's under the patronage of St. Bonaventure, today's patron saint and one of the great 37 doctors of the church. Thank you so much, Bernadine, for your call today from Spokane. We really appreciate it.
Quickly, we'll head to Daniel in the Queen City, Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio today. Daniel, you're on with Father Way. Just a couple minutes to go. What's your question?
Hi, my question is, so I was told that if you get married simply just because, like, let's say you got somebody pregnant, that would then be grounds for an annulment because it would invalidate the marriage. However, if you decide to get married because you got somebody pregnant, but you truly did love each other and you're happy in the marriage, is the marriage still invalid?
So what's required? I don't know if you're talking about a natural marriage or a sacramental marriage. So what's required for a valid marriage in the eyes of the Catholic Church is one man, one woman who are both free of the bond. They have no prior marriages, and they are the first for each one, and they consummate the marriage, okay? That is what makes the marriage absolutely indissoluble. In the very specific case that you're talking about, the church teaches that a pregnancy is not reason enough to get married. It's great if they can marry, and it's great if they can work it out because the child will have its parents. But a pregnancy is not reason alone to marry, okay? But if each one is free of the bond and they've conceived a child out of wedlock and they've never had any prior spouses, they're both free of the bond to marry each other, and they marry in the Catholic Church with valid canonical form, and for a marriage, it's a public reciting of the I do, but giving public consent by which a man and a woman indicate their mutual consent to the marriage covenant, and then that's the form of the marriage, and then the matter is the mutual consent and covenant of a man and a woman to live together as husband and wife, and the consummation of the marriage. So if they're free of the bond, they would have a valid sacramental union if they marry within the Catholic Church. Great question. Thank you so much, Daniel. God bless you.
Father Wade, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. Saint Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, producer Vanessa Sanchez, call screener Tom Price, and our social media maven, Mr. Ace McKay, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.